And he's got projects that he didn't have the first 2 years, and that is he's got a doctoral statement to do. He has opportunities to preach in front of the congregation and share. And as we get close to the end, it seems like everything's piling up on him. The thing is, he's not alone. Anybody that graduates from seminary usually has had this pile up. That's the way it works. And so it's always a privilege. I think I would just as soon preach a Resurrection Sunday message every Sunday if I had my way. There's so much fun with it. And so, but I'm willing to give that up because I like to give the students an opportunity to be able to preach a Resurrection Sunday message. And just to have so much fun digging in the Word. He's already been blessed because he's been studying this. I've watched him study it, and I know it. And so he's going to share that blessing with you now as he comes and shares the Word. So come, Pascal, and preach.
All right. Good morning again. I think it's funny Dale saw the deer earlier because we were just talking about that. We were like, "Yeah, isn't it distracting when you see deers out there?" So that was pretty. That was kind of crazy. I know the gift of prophecy is ceased, so I can't qualify for that gift. But kind of interesting that happened after we mentioned it. But Resurrection Sunday. Unlike Dave, I wouldn't want to preach every Resurrection Sunday because it seems like the Sunday that your thunder gets stolen by Sunday school. So I'm going to be saying that, you know, just like Dale mentioned a lot through my message, but I did want to preach this Sunday because I do think that the resurrection is important, and I do think that the resurrection is sometimes left out oftentimes. And that's what I'm going to be ultimately talking about today, the end of the gospel. So let's pray, and I'm going to get into the next. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come here today and gather and learn about your word and just remember what your son has done for us and the importance of all the parts of the gospel, how Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried in a tomb and rose on the third day. I pray that the Holy Spirit is able to teach today and the Holy Spirit is able to illuminate the minds of those that hear your word today. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. There was one time I went to a church when I was a kid. My mother, she wanted me to go to French church and she wanted me to know French. I went to this French church on Easter and in the middle of the message, the guy just said something, 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 Pascal. And I was a kid, so I thought he was calling me to come up to the pulpit. So I just came in down the aisle. My mother grabbed me like before I got halfway there. And I was like, why are you stopping me? He called me. I'm supposed to go up there. And later on, I learned that the name Pascal means, funny enough, I did a word study on my own name. I promise I'm not a narcissistic or anything. This was very relevant to Easter, but the name Pascal means one born on Easter. It means one, a child that's born on Easter. Unfortunately, I was not born on Easter, so my name is somewhat of a lie, but I didn't have any opinion in being named, so it's not my fault. We'll just pretend it means Easter preacher so that I'm not a lie in the pulpit. I have a couple questions to ask you guys. Have any of you ever watched a TV show and like it was an ongoing series, but you never made it to the final episode, never saw the finale? I know I've done that a lot. Sometimes shows get canceled. Or have you ever read a book and never got to the final chapter of the book? Start something, don't finish it, start books. That happens with often TV shows, that happens with often. Well, when it comes to the gospel, a lot of people start the gospel. They started off pretty good. Jesus Christ died for your sins. But they don't make it to the end of the gospel. Most people believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that's the gospel. That's it. Most people maybe might make it past that point and say, and he was buried. And that's it. It's stop. Most people stop there. And while those things are true, Jesus Christ died for your sins and was also buried. And him being buried, that fact might seem unimportant to most people, but it proves that his death was real and he wasn't just incapacitated or unconscious. But even though these facts are real and aren't contained in the gospel, dying for your sins and being buried is not the total gospel. Not the end of the gospel. AD is the abbreviation that we use to count our years. It's the Latin words Anno Domini, which means in the year of the Lord. But before we counted years in AD, we counted them in BC, which is the abbreviation before Christ. Before Christ was born, that's how we counted our years. But after Christ died on the cross, we never counted the years as AC. We still count our years as AD, Anno Domini. We are still in the year of the Lord, 2023 AD. Why is that? Because after Christ died, Christ rose again and is alive today. We're still in the year of the Lord. And that is a huge thing that is missed when we don't make it to the end of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose on the third day and is alive today. The resurrection is the supernatural aspect of Christianity that sets Jesus apart as a supernatural being. Like Dale said, there's a lot of figureheads of other religions that die and still remain dead. But Jesus Christ is the only one that rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is the only one that is truly God and a supernatural being. Not only does this prove Jesus Christ is deity, this is also the foundation for the completion of our salvation. Those who fail to recognize the resurrection are left with an unfinished and incomplete gospel. Because without the resurrection, Jesus Christ is not who he claimed to be. There is no eternal life in heaven for those who believe the gospel. And Christianity, like Dale said, is effectively a hoax. And you don't have to believe me Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians 15, as Dale read earlier. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, he says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is empty. And so is your faith. And so is your faith. In this case, we are also exposed as false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If our hope in Christ is for this life alone, we are pitied more than all men. So if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, and the gospel simply was that he died for our sins and he was buried, then our faith, our preaching and our faith is empty and useless. And Christianity would be a hoax. And as Dale went over the two words for stolen thunder right here. There are two words for vain in those verses. 1 Corinthians 14 says the word vain, and 1 Corinthians 15:17 says the word vain. But our preaching is not just vain; it's empty, and our faith is not just vain; it's useless. Because the resurrection is proof of who Christ claimed to be and everything the completion of our salvation is built on. And to see that, today we're going to look at why Jesus rose from the dead. Because of who he says he is, because he is who he says he is, and because of who he is. And to be the source and standard of our own resurrections. Jesus rose from the dead because death could not hold Jesus. Why do we die? We die because we can see this in Romans, you don't have to go there, but Romans 6:23, we die because death is the wages of sin. Death, our death's paid for our sin. But Jesus' death paid for all sin, the sin of the world. And he satisfied that payment. So he no longer needed to remain dead. And death could not hold him. Acts 2, let's go to Acts 2, verse 23. It says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. This points to one of the attributes of God, omnipotence. It's better seen if we look in the Greek language, the word for held, that he should not be held by it. The word for held comes from the word kratos, which means might. But it's the verb form, which means to grasp something with one's might. Death could not grasp Jesus Christ with his might because Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Death was not mightier than Jesus Christ, who is deity, and it's not has omnipotence as an attribute. Death could not take hold of Jesus Christ because of who he is, which is God and is omnipotent. Jesus Christ is also conceived by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a descendant from Adam, so he didn't inherit the sin nature from Adam, and he didn't inherit the consequences of sin from Adam, which is death. So Jesus Christ had a perfect humanity. He had the sort of humanity that Adam had before he died in Jesus Christ. And so if Jesus Christ being a man, he would not have died of old age. Because of who he is, he had perfect humanity. And because he's God, death was not able to hold him. So Jesus Christ wouldn't have died at all if he hadn't died for our sins. Jesus is the source. Jesus couldn't be held by death because Jesus is the source of all things that live. If we go to Colossians, let's go to Colossians 1, verse 16. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the source of all things. Jesus Christ is also the reason why all things are held together. All things consist because of Jesus Christ. And not only is he the source of all things that live, Jesus Christ is the source of life itself. You don't have to turn there, but John 5:26 tells us this. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Death cannot hold the one that is the source of all things that live and the one that is the source of life itself. Lewis Ferry Schaefer describes this life in Jesus Christ this way. He says, this is not a reference to human life, which begins with human generation, but to that life which God is, everlasting to everlasting. Lewis Ferry Schaefer also describes death. He says, apart from the experience of animals, this universe knows nothing of death other than as a judgment which it is from God upon a fallen race. And the hour is fast drawing near when the judgment will be lifted and death banished forever. Why, indeed, should the eternal second person, even though he took upon himself deathless, unfallen humanity, be found within the shades of death. The question has but one answer, and that one answer is the only one given in the Bible, namely, that in infinite love he died for others, the just for the unjust, that he might bring the unjust to God. But when satisfaction had been rendered on the account of those whom he died, there was no more occasion for the deathless one to continue in the realms of death. It is, therefore, because of who he is that he arose from the tomb. Jesus Christ could not die unless he had died for our sins. Some people might say, well, Jesus Christ is fully, people say Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, but how could he be fully human if he didn't die? Isn't it part of being human to die? And I'd argue that death does not make you human. Death is not a part of being human. When Adam and Eve were first created, they were not created to die. It wasn't until Adam ate of the fruit that death came into the picture. And we all inherited death from Adam. Romans 5:17 tells us that. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. And more specifically, it's told to us in 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. But Jesus Christ was not born of Adam, but conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus would not have died at all if he didn't die for sin, and he would not have died at all, and he didn't sin at all. So he would not have died, period, unless he died for the sins of others, unless he died for our sin, unless he died for the sins of the world. Though death is something that every human being has the potential to experience, I say potential because the rapture could happen perhaps today, and we all can just skip out on death and not have to deal with that. But death is not inherent to your humanity. Death is a condition. It's obtained by man at the fall when Adam ate the fruit. Death does not make you human. Death makes you a fallen creature that needs eternal life. And how do we receive eternal life? Jesus came for the purpose of providing eternal life. John 10:10 tells us, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Jesus Christ is also the source of how we receive eternal life. 1 John 5:11 tells us, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. This is why death could not hold him. Just because of who he is, he rose from the dead. John 11:23 shows us that Jesus Christ is not only the source of eternal life, but he's the source of our resurrection. He's the source of resurrection, the source of our resurrection. In John 11:23, Jesus is talking to Martha, about Lazarus. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she's looking at it like there's a day where resurrection is sort of reserved for. And that day is a special day in itself. That day will provide resurrection. But Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha, standing in front of the creator of life, standing in front of the source of life, doubts that he could bring a man back from the dead and thinks that there's a special day that rises people from the dead. But before her, the source of resurrection is standing before her. And Jesus Christ That source is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's resurrection is imputed to us as a reality in the mind of the Father. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 4. I think I tied this tie way too tight. Verse 4 in Ephesians chapter 2 says, But God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. This resurrection is imputed to us in Jesus Christ, not in a specific day or for any other reason besides the fact that we have it in Jesus Christ. We don't have it. We haven't died and been resurrected today, but in the mind of God, this is counted as a reality. This is imputed to us. Jesus Christ's resurrection is not only imputed to us. Jesus Christ leads in our resurrection, as Dale mentioned earlier. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, some more stolen thunder here. It says, but now Christ has risen out from dead ones and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection, of our own resurrection. He's not only the first fruit that leads in our own resurrection. He is the standard of our resurrection. Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I read this earlier for the scripture reason, but we'll go over it again. It says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the standard of our resurrection. We will be in the likeness of his resurrection. We have no resurrection if Jesus Christ has no resurrection. Not only was he resurrected and we counted as resurrected with him, he is the standard of our resurrected bodies, how our bodies will appear in our resurrection. Jesus Christ's resurrection is an example of our own. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our bodies of limitation that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. Now I'm going to borrow some thunder from Dale. Dale did a pretty good description of what those bodies are like, a body that can pass through walls, a body that can pass through a stone tomb. Our bodies will be conformed to his glorious body. His body is an example of how our own resurrected bodies will be. We will raise like him. We will have bodies like him, and we shall be like him and see him. We shall be like him in our humanity, not as deity, but in our humanity. In 1 John 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Jesus Christ is the standard of our own resurrections. He's the example of our own resurrections. He's the example of how our bodies will appear in when we rise. Jesus Christ did not die as God. He died as a man. He died as a human being. That body that raised was still and is still a human body. And this is the kind of body that we receive at the rapture when we are changed. A body not only that can pass through walls or pass through a stone tomb, but a body that does not die. Isn't that good news? Isn't that the gift of the gospel? He did not just die for your sins and that's it. He didn't just get buried in a tomb and that's it. He rose on the third day. And he is the first fruit of those who rise. So there are other fruit, you and me. And we will rise and no longer die. At the end of our faith, we are gifted with a resurrected body, just like Jesus Christ. This resurrection awaiting us in the future is imputed to us now as a reality in the mind of God. And God, the Father, already considers us co-raised with Christ. We will experience our eternal lives in the third heaven in the presence of the Father, where our citizenship truly is. This is the end of this book. This is the end of the movie. This is the end of the gospel, that we rise and experience death no more, but we're brought to live in eternity with the Father. And that is something that we should not ever forget. Jesus Christ is not only the source of our own resurrections, but a future depiction of what we will receive and appear like when we are not only counted as resurrected ones, but are resurrected in actuality at the rapture. And for this purpose, Jesus came and rose from the dead. But not only for this purpose, but simply because of the very nature of Jesus Christ is deity in the flesh of deathless and perfect humanity. Death could not hold our Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the supernatural event that sets apart Christianity from other religions, sets apart Jesus Christ as a supernatural being, unlike the leaders of other religions that have died. This supernatural event also is the foundation of the completion and the future of our faith and our hope of eternal life that will be realized at the completion of our salvation. Without the resurrection, Jesus Christ is not who we claim he is, deity. He's not perfect humanity. Our salvation has no completion because there's no eternal life. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried in a tomb, and that's it, but we still die and pay for sins that we don't have to pay for anymore? Wouldn't make sense? And if we don't believe in the resurrection, our preaching and your faith empty and useless, and Christianity is a hoax. So, with that said, that TV series that you haven't finished, finish that. That book that you haven't finished, finish that. But if you forget to finish anything in your life and never complete anything ever in your life, make it to the end of the gospel. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here today and learn about your word and learn about the gift of the gospel and how important it is to always remember that. Not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins, not only was he buried in the tomb, but that he rose from the dead on the third day. And that this resurrection is something that is promised to us at the rapture in the future. We will also rise like him and have bodies like him and be in your presence in the third heaven. in actuality, at the rapture. Let us enjoy the rest of the day, enjoy the fellowship, and enjoy the good food, and have a wonderful rest of our day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.